Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Cowboys coming up tomorrow night. Thursday night football from Nissan Stadium. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. By the way, Joe, they just flashed this graphic up on ESPN. And it was looking ahead to the Titans and the Cowboys. And you know how much I love, like, the ESPN FPI? It gave the Cowboys an 89% chance to win the game. 89%. That's pretty high in an NFL game.
That is high. That's very high. And what are they, 10.5-point favorites?
Yeah. Quite something. Well,
that is. A home game, for the Titans in Nashville, but I can't say that I find it all that inaccurate.
I can't say that I do either. So we'll get into that matchup specifically, including some news on the Titans front from that standpoint a little bit later in this hour. Joe, something that took place over the weekend with the Titans and the Texans that is really interesting to me that we didn't get a chance to talk about a whole lot yesterday was some of Mike Vrabel's comments after the game against Houston about his team, about maybe the work ethic that's been involved with the team as well, and some comments in the aftermath of that on Monday that Vrabel addressed as well. Michelle, do we have the clip of the one after the game? Let's hear these comments from Mike Vrabel after the game and the loss to the Texans from on Saturday, 19-14.
When you say maybe we should love preparing and doing the things before the game, are you saying that you may not have 100% buy-in?
Well, it's not the buy-in. It's just, you know, how much are we doing outside of the time that we're at the facility? I don't know. You know what I mean? Those are questions that, you know, if they just, you know, if you as a professional athlete just work 8 to 4 or 8 to 4:30. And I don't know how much you get out of it. You know, maybe God gifted you with some really, really cool talents. You know, we just have to, you know, all do a little bit more. And that's with me and the preparation, and that's with the coaches and the players, and, you know, just a little bit more of everything.
So, Joe, I thought those comments were really interesting. Some eyebrow raisers after the game on Saturday against the Texans. He had talked before that about, you know, you hate losing, so maybe you should love preparing and love focusing before the game and doing as much as you possibly can so that you don't make mistakes in critical times and errors that can be avoided in the game. So some pretty strong comments from Mike Vrabel after the game on Saturday against Houston. And then on Monday, he was asked about those comments and what exactly he meant by those comments that he had after the game against Houston. Here was what Mike Vrabel had to say on Monday.
When you talk 8 to 4, 8 to 4:30 guys on Saturday, were you talking to some specific guys or were you talking kind of thematically about everybody giving?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I guess I just have to be more careful with how I choose my words. I just was trying to say that we all need to, you know, to say less and just try to start doing more right now and just, you know, studying more, you know, communicating more, asking more questions, you know, coaching better, explaining, teaching better, you know, so that players can come back with questions and say, hey, I saw this. How would we, you know, play that? Or, you know, I wasn't, you know, I'm not spreading a message to the media that I haven't said to the players at any point in time. That's not how I want to coach. So, That's all that was. That was just, you know, just explaining it. I think, you know, again, building off that, how much better can we get physically at this point in the season? Where can we try to find an edge to help us win?
So that was Vrabel on Monday at his press conference. I thought the first comments on Saturday after the game, Joe, like I said, made me raise my eyebrows a little bit as to who exactly Vrabel was talking about and what was going on there. And a little bit of walking it back there from Vrabel on Monday. What did you make of that whole sequence from Mike Vrabel's comments from after the game against Houston to then, you know, 24, 48 hours later when he had some time to cool down and dwell on it on Monday?
Well, the part of it that's to me, definitely just a walk back to kind of like, you know, to just put a different spin on it is when he's talking about, and the coaches do this, and then we have to explain it. But I mean, he was talking about players. Okay. So that part of it, I don't think there's any question about it. He's talking about player because look, the coaches are locked in. Like they have their, like they work together on these game plans and the film and everything. And they have individual times and stuff too, but like they have they're the ones who set this whole thing up. The individual time away from the building of basically studying film. And I mean, some of it can be recovery and stuff like that, like taking care of yourself, being smart, things like that. But I mean, I took it more mostly is the way he described it is like basically like individual film study. Again, like Kevin Byard is one of those guys who's, you know, like people have been talking about how good he is at that and how into it he is since he was a rookie. You know, your cut-ups that they give to you. You've got your film study that you do with the team, and then you better spend hours looking at the specific matchups you're going to be in coming up and find tendencies, you know, and find things that haven't been found for you. And then, you know, for Byard, I mean, I know he looks at – he doesn't just look at that stuff. He looks at team stuff. He looks for his own stuff for each game, you know, beyond, like, what the coaches do. But the coaches – like that's built in. It's individual players. So I took this at least as just a general question of whether everybody is working like that, like they should. Was it a specific? Was he really calling out specific guys? Well, I'll tell you. As soon as he left the room, that's all we did in that room. Is like, okay, so who's he talking about, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go through the. You know, Jared's texting me. Is he talking about this guy? Is he talking about that guy? You know. So I don't know. It felt that way in the moment. It felt in the moment like maybe there's, you know, a guy or two who are just, you know, like are not knowing what they should do. I kind of look at it like I assumed defensive guys, you know, maybe somebody who's making mistakes out there even because like they aren't, you know, they aren't doing all the stuff they should be doing. But it may not be.
Well, I mean, the wording to me is pretty clear of what he said on Saturday. Like he's basically calling people out. Like if you, as a professional athlete, just work 8 to 4, 8 to 4:30, I don't know how much you're going to get out of it. Like, I don't know specifically who he's talking about there. He's calling somebody out when he's doing that. And maybe it's multiple somebodies as they look ahead here. But I mean, I thought the messaging and again, it's, you're talking what, 5-10 minutes after the game's over on Saturday. I mean, we've seen Vrabel in those situations. He can be a little emotional. Everybody can be a little emotional at those times, especially when you're doing a lot of losing. But, I mean, to me, the messaging from Vrabel was pretty clear after that. And, you know, I do think he walked it back a little bit on Monday and included the coaches. But I agree with you. Like, that was, to me, about players, maybe about specific players. And, again, I don't know who that is. But I thought it was a pretty clear message from Mike Vrabel after the game on Saturday.
And right before, you know, the clip we played, he said, you hear, man, I hate losing. I hate losing too. So maybe we should love preparing and love focusing before the game and doing as much as we possibly can so we don't make mistakes in critical times or mental errors, things that could be avoided. That's part of the job. It's rewarding watching guys succeed. That's why I do this, watch them develop and improve. But the losses certainly hurt. So, yeah, I mean, that's where TD asked him, you know, so are you talking about, you not having a buy-in. I mean, yeah, I agree. It seems to me like there was a mistake or two in that game made by someone who it's like, how could you possibly, like, we went over it, but then again, it's also like, or maybe like, man, you should know that tendency of that particular player. Like we talk, you know, whatever, how much of it is like, we told you this and you made the mistake or you should have figured that out. I don't know, but yeah, it feels specific. I mean, I it's like, I go back to last year. I think, well, it was the opener, right? The opener and other times last year, there were times when I felt like Vrabel was talking about Julio Jones without naming Julio Jones, you know, he was frustrated with him. And of course there was time when he actually did basically call him out for doing stupid bleep to hurt the team. But I mean, we can speculate all day on who this would be, but I don't think this is purely just some like random comment thrown in there. I think, you know, it's frustration boiling over.
Well, I think so too. And, you know, like Vrabel said in the second clip, you know, usually stuff like this doesn't really happen with him in the media. And again, he's not calling out anybody specifically with those comments. So it's not like he's like, you know, taking a player specifically to task in front of the media. But I do think that those comments after the game against Houston are maybe the strongest comments that I've heard from Mike Vrabel from something like that. That's kind of what the eyebrow raiser was to me. Like, you know, you've talked about it. You know, Mike Mularkey was not really afraid to speak his mind and call people out to the media. It's not really been Vrabel's style. So those comments on Saturday were about as strong as I think I've heard him be since he's taken over as head coach of the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, here and there he'll get asked about a specific player mistake and he might say, yeah, like we can't do that or whatever. Or he'll be asked, how did you think this player performed? And sometimes he'll be like, yeah, it was okay, some good, some bad. And in most cases, he'll probably defend, you know, like, for example, like when Firkser dropped the pass and it popped up for a pick and a huge loss to the Texans. I think that's the one where he said to me, because I asked about it, you're a professional writer.
Yes.
It's a great quote.
Yes, you are.
But this, yeah, this was a little different. And, yeah, it's like the whole thing with media is like, And I think this is the way to do it. I mean, his point is, I'm not gonna come to you guys and try to send some message that I don't say to them first. And
right.
That's, I mean, I think that's a good way to go about your business. Like, I'm sure he, you know, said something to that effect, you know, to the team along with saying it to us. But just saying it to us, I think, is more than he usually does. I think, you know, I think usually he just holds off on stuff like that, but that is what happens sometimes when you're emotional and you're coming off your fifth straight loss.
We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make of Mike Vrabel's messaging after the Houston game and so far this week as the Titans prepare for the Dallas Cowboys? More on that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do, Robbie. And listen, add this to your New Year's resolution. Win money in 2023. Who doesn't love that with Superbook Sports? Superbook has over three decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, and you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. We got a little Thursday night football action in Nashville tomorrow night. Dallas Cowboys are coming to town, and the Tennessee Titans are trying to break that five-game losing streak, but Cowboys are favored by 9.5. I do think that they end up winning by about 10. So give me the Cowboys minus the 9.5. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app and place your bets now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the messaging from Mike Vrabel after the game. Looking at the players saying maybe they're not doing enough outside of the building. And the quote was, if you're a professional athlete and you just work 8-4 or 8-4:30, I don't know how much you get out of that. He did walk those comments back a little bit on Monday as well. But taking your thoughts on that, Zach from Nashville on the text line says, Big Jeff made similar comments heading into the Texans game last week. A rare moment of vulnerability from Vrabel, but it's a message he's obviously been delivering for a week or so behind the scenes in the locker room. This from Zach from Nashville on the text line.
Do you recall the
I do not recall the specific Simmons
going
comments.
Into the game, huh? That's interesting. Yeah, I missed that. Yeah, look, you get into something like this, and you're going to look at everything, including like we've talked about. You look at the medical people. You know, you're going to look at everything going on and what's happening. I think that, you know, there's one thing where, you know, like teams don't tank, right? teams don't tank. Certainly the players and coaches, they're not tanking. They're not trying to lose. They're going out there. I mean, I'm seeing even some of these games just between terrible teams. I mean, the Rams are terrible this year. I mean, they're just awful. It's just been a disaster of a season. God, they were acting like they were winning the Super Bowl as they just obliterated the Broncos the other day, you know what I mean? But do some things erode if you're a losing season? You get late in a losing season. Does some things start to erode for some teams, you know, on the preparation front? I'm sure, right? I mean, that's human nature, I'm sure. Now, there'd be no excuse with this team because they, until recently, were leading their division. But, it's an interesting thought. Like, maybe there are people who, you know, who are just not doing enough.
Well, maybe so. And that, to me, would be extremely frustrating if I'm Vrabel, because you can still win the division. Like, you can still go to the playoffs. So, I mean, I hear you. I absolutely think that sometimes what you're talking about happens, and that maybe it does get a little lax at the end of the year, especially from teams that know they're not going anywhere and they're just counting down the days until the season's over and you can just reset, look ahead to next season, all that stuff. I mean, the Titans, if that's been the case, that would be a problem to me, because everything's still on the table for the Titans. They can still win the division. They can still host a home playoff game. And all that is still going to be on the table regardless of the losing streak that they're on. Now, one thing that is interesting to me, Joe, and we talked about this, and I think Corey Curtis used this term a couple of weeks ago when we were talking to him. You know, the culture or the work environment or whatever you want to talk about with the Titans that we use all the time. You know, Corey was talking about sometimes you find out exactly what that is when things aren't going well, and that Vrabel's talked about that before. And
many times.
Yeah, I'm not saying that this is an indictment on that. I would just say that if there are players that are not buying in or not doing the necessary work to put in, that would seem to be very anti what Vrabel preaches on a consistent basis.
And this isn't really what he was talking about. Is, I mean, I think his comments pretty clearly were about preparation and about, you know, fine, you know,
yep,
specific to the game. But remember, Rashad Weaver got fined this year for showing up. What did he just show up late to a treatment, right?
Yeah.
Or did he either miss one or showed up late? He got fined. Like, he complained about it on Instagram, but that's another part of this. And look, you talk about the injuries. Are there some, you can't blame someone for their injury, but if you're not doing every single thing possible, and then beyond that, to try to recover and get treatment, all that stuff, then that's another thing. Right. I mean, could that have something to do with, you know, some of the injury issues? I mean, hey, everything's on the table, especially when you lose like this. Everything's on the table.
Well, I was watching the game Saturday, Joe, and I saw Bud Dupree leave the game again with an injury and Zach Cunningham leave the game again with an injury. And I was like, man, Cunningham, I mean, it feels like it's just been the same thing with him the whole year. And I'm just like throwing my hands up. What in the world is going on where he keeps getting back on the field and then walking off the field with the same injury?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing with him. So it is the same thing. It's the elbow, right?
Yep.
So, I feel bad for him because you have one injury and it just, and you finally come back and it gets, I mean, it's a disaster of a signing for the Titans, but it's because of the injury. I have no idea how he would have played this year. He wasn't playing that well real early, but it's so long ago. Like, I have no idea what he would have meant to this defense. Dupree is, you know, obviously a much bigger investment, and now it's like it's something different all the time, right? It's this and that and this, and now it's like a pectoral, and it's been the hip, and it's been, yeah. I mean, he's had all kinds of stuff. And that, I mean, that's just – so, again, I'm not blaming him for that, but I'm just saying, like, there's got to be frustration all the way around with something like that, and it's in particular a guy who is paid as much as he is. And look, I think with him, he's still played enough to say, for the most part, he hasn't been that good. He just hasn't. He hasn't been very effective. He's had flashes here and there, but that's a big, you know, that's a big negative check mark on the John Robinson docket,
yeah,
of all the moves he's made with the Titans.
Well, I said it yesterday, and, you know, obviously you've been in the locker room. I can tell just by the videos that have come out. Just like watching Kevin Byard's face in some of these post-game press conferences. I mean, you could tell. I mean, this is just – it's eating away at him, what's going on right now with the Titans. And, look, I think it's because of the losing streak, obviously. I mean, they're losing a lot of games, and that's why it's as frustrating as it's been. But I do wonder, like, when Vrabel starts making comments like this of, like, maybe players aren't doing enough, like, does Kevin Byard see players maybe not doing enough around him? And it's like, wonder, like, what's going on here? Like, why are you guys not putting in the same work that I put in? Again, I have no idea what specifically they're referring to here, but I'm just saying, like, you could – the frustration that this team is dealing with right now is pretty palpable, and I thought that was a pretty raw, honest moment from Vrabel after the game Saturday.
Yeah, I actually asked Byard about that. If I was smart, I would have had that sound ready to go. But, I mean, Byard basically was – I mean, kind of shrugged it off like, I don't know. You know, I don't know if anyone's not preparing or whatever. You know, but, I mean, he didn't have, like, a real strong comment about it. But he certainly – I mean, I know he's not who Vrabel would be talking about.
No.
You know, like that, there's no doubt about that. But I mean, yeah, in his frustration, even to the point, and he said this, I think it was Jim White who asked him, you know, about just like, what do you say? And he's just like, I don't know. I don't know what to say basically right now to the guys. It's tough. I mean, yeah, he hasn't had to deal with this at all, which is pretty remarkable, really. If you're in the NFL for as long as Kevin Byard has been in the NFL, and you haven't had that, well, you haven't had a losing season, which is probably what this team's about to have. So you know, it's new territory for him. But that's another reason why, Robbie. I do think tomorrow, if I don't like their chances, and I don't know who's going to play. But if they were able to get a win tomorrow, I still think there's a ton of value in that just because the negativity has just really gotten pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most negative that I can remember it in a while from the Titans. I mean, there's no question about that. And some of that is the on-the-field product. Some of it is the roster. Some of it is the offensive coordinator, which we continue to get text about even as we speak right now on this topic. It's pretty wide-ranging, the frustration from Titans fans as they look ahead to the rest of this season. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Look ahead to the Titans and Cowboys coming up tomorrow night. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out for the Titans? We'll get into that and more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Preparation standpoint for this week, what's your schedule look like as far as on the field, in the classroom, and maybe how do you decide what's most important on a short?
Well, I mean, we've tried to, you know, come up with a plan that's been, you know, all about trying to get recovered mentally and physically with these guys and understand the toll that the game takes on them each and every week, especially late in the season. Glad that they had, you know, spend some time with family on Christmas, and you know, we'll add a little bit more than what we did yesterday from a walkthrough perspective and try to get moving around an individual. You know, today will still be, you know, a lot of team reps in a walkthrough setting. You know, tomorrow we'll probably ramp that up a little bit. I think that, you know, just some of the timing things that go into, you know, especially throwing the football. You know, seeing where guys are at and seeing what we can do from a speed standpoint to get ready for Thursday night.
That was Mike Vrabel looking ahead to the Titans and the Cowboys coming up on Thursday Night Football. A short week, short turnaround for the Titans. It is, I guess, a little bit better than playing on Sunday and having the Thursday night game. At least you played on Saturday if you're the Titans, but still a short turnaround nonetheless. And Joe, it's interesting, when I type in Tennessee Titans on my computer, the first thing it takes me to is the injury report. It just knows that that's where I'm going with the Titans. And I'm looking at it yesterday. DeNico Autry back as a limited participant with the bicep injury. Derrick Henry back out there, limited participant with the hip injury. Christian Fulton, limited with the groin. So maybe some progress there from Fulton. That's good to see. Amani Hooker, limited with the knee injury. But a whole lot of DNPs yesterday. Dylan Cole, Zach Cunningham, Bud Dupree, Petit Frere, Tannehill, obviously, Josh Thompson, and Jeffrey Simmons all not practicing yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. So the injury list continues to be lengthy, and the status for many players of this game coming up tomorrow against Dallas up in the air at this point.
Yeah, but then you got Derrick Henry at least making it sound like, you know, he's going to play in this game. I mean, I think you said it yesterday. I think it makes sense. Maybe this is a game where, you know, you give him this rest and now he is full go for the game that counts. But I'm interested, like, if he does play, you know, like, yeah. how do Titans fans view that? He is also in the rushing race.
Yeah, he is. I mean, look, I have no problem with players wanting to play. I mean, when he showed up on the injury report the other day with a hip injury, I obviously don't know how severe it is. He's back out there as a limited participant. But to me, like, if there's anything going on with Derrick Henry this week that you're even at all concerned about, why not just sit him down and then have him ready to go, rested up and healthy for the game that matters? Like, look, I'll be honest with you. Like, the rushing title is interesting to me. I want Derrick Henry to win the rushing title. That would be his third in 4 years. And when you start talking about future destinations for Derrick Henry and the Hall of Fame and all that stuff, like, that stuff matters to me. So, look, I think it matters for him to play from that standpoint. Like, go get the rushing title and go get it done. I mean, obviously, they've lost five in a row, too. So, if you're Derrick Henry, you want to go try to get a win before next week as well. So, look, I mean, the fan in me wants to see Derrick Henry play. I just think if there's anything remotely that you're concerned about with him, it makes a lot of sense to hold him out.
No, for sure. Yeah. You don't want him if he's fighting through a hip, you know, and you know, hip could mean different things.
Yeah.
I mean, any sort of like hip pointer can be so painful. But you know, if he's fighting through something to rally to play in this game, then I think that's a mistake. I mean, I think that could be a real problem. It is probably a good sign. Well, I think Christian Fulton as a limited participant, I think that's the first time he's had any participation at all in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So that at least shows some light at the end of the tunnel for the Jacksonville game with him, right? Maybe he still doesn't play in this game. There's another example. Would Christian Fulton help the Titans? You know, would he make them better and give them a better chance of beating Dallas? I would say so, but if there's any question, you know, messing around with that, you re-injure that, and now who knows if he's ready for Jacksonville? You know, groin injury. I mean, that's purely rest. You know, Monty Hooker is another guy who does he make them better? Yeah, whether he's in the slot or safety or what, you know, wherever they put him, they're a better defense when he's on the field. He gets upgraded to limited yesterday, but there's another one who it's like, eh. Why are you messing with it in this game? You want to win. You have to play a certain amount of players, but why push any of these key guys when they could be really rested and as healthy as they've been in a while for the Jacksonville game?
Well, right, and like you said, you're going to have to play a lot of guys. I mean, there's roster limitations as to who can sit down in this game. And who can't? I mean, you're going to have starters playing in this game. And honestly, Joe, like offensively, with the exception of Derrick Henry, like I think the starters need to play in this game. Like Malik Willis, obviously, is going to play probably, unless they decide to go Josh Dobbs. But it'll be Malik Willis in this game against Dallas. Like I think Robert Woods needs to play. I think Treylon Burks needs to play. Obviously, your offensive line doesn't have any choice but to play coming up on Thursday night. So there are a lot of guys on the offensive side of the ball that I think need to play because I think they need to get every rep they can get. Like Treylon Burks is probably your best weapon at wide receiver. He needs to play in this game because he's missed a lot of time this year.
Oh, no doubt. He needs to play and he needs to, he needs to get the football one way or the other. You have to make it so that he has the football in his hands on some plays. I mean, you have to make that happen. This is also, the offensive line. Look, I mean, it's what it is. It's right. Basically it's what it is for this game and for the finale, but you do need like game time with this newly constructed offensive line.
Yeah.
To just try to, you know, try to keep working together and get to the being as, as effective as possible for that Jacksonville game. There's some bad matchups in that game. There's some bad matchups Thursday too. But I mean, this is what the new offensive line is. It's a real problem. It's brutal, but you need that to happen. You still also, by the way, do have one IR return. So who does that go to?
LD from McMinnville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm leaning towards Fulton and Hooker being labeled as injury prone. Their availability stinks. This from LD from McMinnville on the text line. And it has been an injury plagued season for Amani Hooker and an injury plagued season for Christian Fulton. And really, I mean, Christian Fulton, from the moment he's been here, has spent pretty significant time being injured with the Titans. And like I said, that's not where you want your cornerback to be, and he spent a whole lot of time not available for the Titans.
Yeah, it's been a big problem. I mean, he's played in more than half the games, but I don't think it's not a whole bunch more than half the games of his pro career so far. And there's a guy who, as far as I know, I don't think he had injury issues like at LSU, you know. Like some of these guys, obviously like the Caleb Farleys of the world, you know, like you knew what you're signing up for. Christian Fulton, and it seems like for the most part, it's been soft tissue injuries.
Yeah,
with him,
I think almost exclusively.
That's not great. I mean, that's a guy who there's a decision coming on him. You know, I mean, he's a good player. There's no doubt when he's right, when he's healthy, he's a good player. He's a worthwhile. You can call him a CB1. You know, not a star, but a good player. But you know, that availability is just a real problem. And Hooker, you know, it's different with him. It's a knee, but he's had some different things. I mean, he had a concussion this year too. Correct? I believe that's correct. So he's had different things. I don't think it's been as bad with him. Of course, he just did get paid. You know, they need him. He makes a big difference.
Well, that's why it continues to be amazing to me. Number one, Roger McCreary and his availability this year has been consistent. But Kevin Byard, week in, week out, is there, available, and consistent through this team, despite everything else that's been going on around him. And you know, a couple years ago, we were talking about Kevin Byard and asking, man, has he lost a step out there? What's going on with Byard? You know, like he does not have the interception numbers this year that he had a year ago. But, I mean, Kevin Byard, pretty consistent out there for the Titans defense.
Yeah, it's amazing how some guys, he doesn't spend time on the injury report, you know? Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even miss days of practice. He misses nothing. And it's obviously some of that is, I think, being blessed to be as durable as he is. It has to be. But I bet you it's also doing everything. I know. It's also doing every single preventive thing that you can possibly do in terms of treatment and putting that time in on a daily basis to make it so you don't get hurt. There's a lot of front end work that has to be done on injuries too. And I think that is I think that's a fair question overall for some of these guys. I think some people, when Vrabel fined Rashad Weaver, it was like, geez, man, but dude, you know how important that is? It's critically important. It's as important as watching film and practicing. These guys' bodies are being just completely shredded by this game. And if you aren't doing those things, then you're going to have more injuries. And he's probably an example of both of it, like being blessed, being lucky to just have a durable body, but also doing every possible thing you can. And I don't think there's any doubt that, well, I don't know for a fact of anybody other than the Weaver thing, but I feel pretty good guessing that some guys aren't doing all those things. And at this point, with 2 years of this, that's got to be there's got to be memos all over the building, you know? Yeah. Get your freaking treatment, man.
Yep. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Make sure you tune in for the NFL pregame tomorrow night, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 5 to 7 prior to the Titans taking on the Dallas Cowboys. NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Would like a world of change. It helps me to appreciate those nights and those dreams.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Now, we got a request yesterday on Twitter to play a little Creed today, and I'm glad that we followed through with it. Joe, I turn things over to you.
Well, by the way, Glorious Domination was played at the beginning of the third period last night, wasn't it?
That's what I hear.
And what happened?
They did not win.
They also knew you weren't there.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
Just laying out the evidence.
Keep piping that noise pollution in the air and waiting for different results. all right. I got triggered just a minute ago, so now I need to find the source of my triggering. But okay. This actually goes well with my original intended rant. And I didn't get to rant yesterday because of the stuff down here. So let me pick on Scotty from Dixon here. This relates to what I was going to talk about. I think it all ties together pretty well. Scotty from Dixon says, problem with the Titans, they just don't believe in themselves. They have zero leadership. He had triple zeros. Zero, zero, zero leadership. No real captains or anybody who is actually a leader to pick them up. That's astoundingly stupid, Scotty from Dixon. And it goes with the tweets I got. I got a flurry of them. I had some tweet about like how they were getting beat up front, you know, early in the game defensively. And I got like three or four tweets people said, it's because they've given up. So that's two of my favorite things that people inevitably resort to that in this case just have absolutely no basis in fact at all. First of all, like, they haven't given up. They didn't give up in that game. They were playing their guts out in that game. I mean, if you're watching that game, you're seeing them, you know, lose up front a fair amount. Well, yeah, they're not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously defensively they are, you know, and ultimately, I mean, you know, the defense gave up what was the final score?
19-14.
Yeah, they gave up all of 19 points. So, you know, and included turnover giving the Texans an easier time. They play very hard. The quitting, we've talked about this, Robbie, the whole like they're quitting, you know, especially in games where basically violence is a huge part of the game. It's just not true. But this leadership thing also relates pretty well with like, it's like when the Preds are going poorly, and it'll happen again this year. You know, Roman Yossi, what's he doing? You know, what's he doing out there? Let me tell you something about the Titans. The Titans have great captains. They have great leadership. We've been talking about Byard today. Kevin Byard is a fantastic leader. Kevin Byard isn't just a great player. He is like, he is your dream. Because as a coach with a leader, what you want is, yes, you want someone with a voice, and you want someone who can sort of verbalize the message and can bring the message to the players and can sort of be the coach in the field, but also, you want a guy who not just verbalize it, but a guy who it does lead by example. You want both. You want lead by example. You want lead by voice. Kevin Byard does both tremendously well. I mean, he He is the model of what you should try to be as a professional athlete. Okay. Ryan Tannehill's a great leader. And I know, like, you know, Jared may whine and cry about that, but he doesn't have a clue. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's a great leader. He's respected. He's got a great voice. Simmons has emerged. Henry has emerged. That is zero problem for this team. You can lead all you want and scream and set the example and say whatever you want, and Dennis Daly's still going to get his butt kicked at left tackle because he shouldn't be a starting left tackle in the NFL. And that's not even anybody's fault because, oh, well, it's the fault of John Robinson for not having the right depth, but he's there because of injury. They aren't good in some areas. In some areas, they're horrible. And in a lot of areas, they are so injured that I don't even know what you're supposed to say anymore. So let's dismiss with the quitting. They haven't done that at all. And let's dismiss with the leadership. It's not a problem. Now, culture, as we talk about, it is being tested right now. Ultimately, like, you have to be able to perform under these conditions. But if they end up not getting this done, if they lose, they lose the finale and fall out of the playoffs for an all-time, an all-time choke job in franchise history, it's not going to have anything to do with leadership. It's going to have to do with not being good enough. And frankly, it's going to have to do with, you want to talk about a leadership issue, it's going to have to do with the very top of the organization blowing things up by firing the GM in the middle of the season. That is a fair question of leadership. The players in the locker room, not fair at all.
Well, and I would also point out Mike Vrabel is the head coach, and 6 weeks ago we were talking about what a great leader he was and how he gets his team to rise up to the moment and doing more with less, all these different things. And now all of a sudden, like, we think that he's just terrible. You know, Paul Karsky, who we'll have on the show here in just a few minutes, came out with a piece yesterday at his website, you know, basically talking about those people who think that Mike Vrabel should be in trouble or in danger of losing his job or just asinine at this point. Like, that's a part of leadership, too, is your head coach. And you got to really be doing some reaching to me to not recognize that Vrabel's been pretty outstanding as a leader of the football team over the past few years.
Yes. And certainly, I agree. Like, any sort of hot seat talk, we've ripped on hot seat talk before on this show. Have. But any sort of hot seat talk with him is, yeah, I agree. It's silly. Now, look, when you lose this many games in a row, I think it's fair to, it's fair to look at anything. Okay. It's fair to look at every person who's involved in the trying to win or lose if you're losing this much. So I think that's fine. I think Vrabel, I think Todd Downing, it's fair to criticize him. I have to chuckle sometimes at people who are, it's just like every single thing that's gone wrong, including on defense now, is about Todd Downing. Like, you just fire that guy and everything is fixed. You know, there's a little bit of people going overboard there, but look, it's fair to criticize him, and that's a big thing coming up for Vrabel this offseason and all that. So it's not like it's perfect or anything, but yeah. He's been a very good coach, and he'll probably continue to be. And if the Titans would be wise to hold on to him, I would say.
Yeah, and look, this thing, like you said, it's a test that they've not had to deal with for most of them for their entire careers, for some of them in a really long time. Since, you know, certainly since Vrabel's been here, you've not had to deal with anything like this, a 5-game losing streak and staring down the barrel of going from 7-3 to potentially going 7-10. I mean, you're talking about potentially losing 7 games in a row to close out the season here. So like you said, I mean, there's a lot of things that you could bring up that I think are fair discussions to have, and I don't know how this is going to play out. I do know this. If they end up losing this thing and they go 7-10 and they're out of the playoffs, it's a massive, massive meltdown. I mean, there's no other way to frame it than that. I think in sports, not even just with this team, but in sports, and we've talked about this, the leadership or the effort level are two things that they get blown out of proportion a lot. Like, I hear a lot of, even with the Predators stuff, like, well, they're not trying out there. It's like, well, no, they're trying. I can promise you. They just may not be very good. Like, just sometimes you're just not very good. I think we gravitate to the effort problem or the leadership problem way too often. When in most cases, it's as simple as, yeah, maybe they're just not very good.
Yeah, it requires a really a total lack of understanding of like what is being done out there, you know? Like if you really aren't trying, it'll be so embarrassingly bad. It'll be replayed on all the shows, you know, like they're trying. There's small differences between these teams, but some teams have great players and they are just better than others. And that's the thing. You're right. I mean, this team is going to potentially sitting there looking at 7 straight losses, like not one good thing happening since hashtag the plane from Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, landed in Nashville if they can't figure this out. So, and again, that's also why if they somehow can figure this out and get that win in Jacksonville, which I'm not ruling out, but it's going to require, you know, it's going to require some special defensive performances and probably like a scoop and score or something. But if they can figure it out, that's a worthwhile prize. You know, if for them to snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat, I think a lot of people are just counting the Jags in. I've heard some guys talking yesterday on ESPN. It was just like, oh, it's going to be so exciting to see the Jags in the playoffs. Trevor Lawrence, you know, I get the line of thinking right now, but it isn't actually over.
Joe, you're going to go down to media availability with Tennessee and Clemson. We'll see you back on the program at 9 o'clock. We'll have Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.